practice key structures of the language in every class, the more confident you will be when you use them in real life, and the more effective you will be as a communicator in English. And in this global world of ours, communicating effectively is absolutely key to success. By means of face-to-face classes or video conference classes, Vaughn will make all the difference for your English. And you will make all the difference for your company.
Más información en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid en el 911335831.
Hey guys, are you sitting around your home just wondering what to do? Well, why don't you sign up for Vaughn's English class via video conference? That's right. Now you can have the best teachers in the comfort of your own home. You'll get personalized attention because there's a maximum of only 6 students per class. Give us a call, 91-133-5831. Learn English with Vaughn via video conference classes. Sign up now.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan. Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
You're listening to The Drive Time Show with Kyle Miller.
Everybody, and welcome back. It is time for the third half hour, the final half hour of the Drive Time Show right here exclusively on Vaughn Radio. My name is Kyle Miller. Kyle Miller, K-Y-L-E-M-I-L-L-A-R. Well, the name on Instagram is I'm Kyle Miller. If you want to participate in the show, you can send me questions and you can also follow my free classes that I provide on Instagram on the account. In fact, after the show today, after the Drive Time Show, I will do my review show, mi repaso, que doy en Instagram. I give the extra mile. I call it the Drive Time Show, then the extra mile with Kyle, my Instagram show. Of course, I save those shows and post them into my free Facebook group as well. So if you have Facebook, you can join the free group. It's called English with Kyle. Okay. Before the break, we were talking about asset bubbles. Ooh, yeah, asset bubbles. We were talking about some of the largest asset bubbles and economic collapses in modern history. And the last one I wanted to mention was the U.S. housing bubble. Some experts believe that the bursting of the NASDAQ, the dot-com bubble, led investors to push into real estate due to this belief that real estate was a safer asset class. But U.S. housing prices almost doubled from 1996 to 2006. Two-thirds of that increase occurred from 2002 to 2006. And things just went too high too fast. People got into flipping houses, right? When you buy a house with the intention of just selling it on later, flipping houses. So housing prices peaked in 2006 and then started a slide. They started to fall. That resulted in the average U.S. house losing a third of its value by 2009. Terrible. Now, this boom and bust gives also an effect, they call it a ripple effect afterwards, that led into other financial instruments, and it became basically a great recession. So although every bubble is different, one common element in most bubbles is willingness to participate. People people get in and they think things are going to rise. They think they can make money by participating in an abnormally high market or an abnormally fast growing market. So they jump in and it accelerates the growth even more. But once people stop investing and stop pushing money into these investments, they stop growing and then start to decline and often have a crash, as we saw in these five cases of five great asset bubbles that we have discussed here on the Drive Time Show today. So if you missed the first four, you can listen to the second half hour of the Drive Time Show on iVox. Listen to the podcast, iVox, or also Spotify. You can search for the Drive Time Show on Spotify and hear the podcast, hear a repeat of the show, and hear those stories, including the Dutch tulip crisis, which is a very famous one. Anyway, let's jump ahead with today's expression of the day. Expression of the day. Expression of the day. Our expression of the day today is to miss the boat. Now, miss can mean a few different things. In this case, no aprovechar, to miss an opportunity. Miss can also mean echar de menos. I miss friends from my hometown. I miss my mother's cooking. I miss your advice. Echar de menos. Okay, but here to miss the boat, miss can be no aprovechar, or also no dar, like to miss a goal, like Cristiano Ronaldo kicks, but he misses the net. He doesn't score. It doesn't hit the net. It doesn't go in. He missed. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe he missed. Fallar, en ese sentido. But to miss the boat, it means you fail to take advantage. Right? Que no aproveches una oportunidad. To fail to take advantage of an opportunity because you don't act quickly enough. Right? So there was a limited opportunity. A limited time opportunity, but you didn't, sadly, you didn't act quickly enough, and you missed the boat. You missed the opportunity. Okay? So to miss the boat. Like a lot of these investments that we talked about, people say, oh, you know, I want to invest in Bitcoin, but maybe I missed the boat. It went up so much. And I don't know. Maybe I missed the boat on Bitcoin. A lot of people made a lot of money investing in Bitcoin over the last few years. But maybe if you're starting now, maybe you have missed the boat. Who knows? Okay, let's have a look at some vocabulary. Yay! Vocabulary. I'm talking about the house, la casa. Different things that you can find in and around your house. A few words that you may or may not know. Antenna. Oh, eso es muy fácil. Antenna. It's the same. But in English with one N. A-N-T-E-N-A. Antenna. Antenna. Okay. Attic. Desván. Attic. Attic. A-T-T-I-C. Attic. Attic. Patio trasero, backyard. Yeah, the backyard. Oh, I'll leave it. Pero también jardín. We can say the back. Oh, it's in the yard. It's in the yard. The front yard or the backyard? My house in Canada has a front yard and also a backyard. But when I would say jardín, when I'd say garden, people say, oh, jardín, garden. But to me, a garden is for intentionally cultivating vegetables. You have a vegetable garden or a flower garden, typically. Or like a palace garden. Okay, balcón, balcony, balcony. We see B-A-L-C-O-N-Y, balcony. Sótano, basement. basement, il sottano. Yes. Bagno, bathroom, washroom. Americans will say restroom, but yes, I would say washroom. Okay, dormitorio, bedroom, claro, bedroom. Techo, ceiling. Sótano, también bodega, cellar, C-E-L-L-A-R. C-E-L-L-A, not vendedor, no, cellar, C-E-L-L-A-R, but it's pronounced cellar, not cellar. Just like my name is spelled Millar, but we don't say Millar, we say Miller. Chimenea. Well, chimenea, chimney, but really, chimenea can also be fireplace. The chimney in English is where the smoke escapes. You shouldn't have a fire in your chimney. That's a problem. If you have a chimney fire, you could burn your house down. You should have a fire in the fireplace. La chimenea, fireplace. The chimney is where the smoke escapes. Okay? Terraza. Well, you could say terrace, but no, I would say a sun deck. Sun deck. Let's say sun deck. That's a good way to put it. Hey, let's go ahead and get into some questions, because I have a bunch of questions that came into the free Facebook group. If you have questions, be sure to post them as well in the Facebook group, English with Kyle. There I have what I call the question thread, como hilo de conversación, hilo de preguntas, question thread. So that's the best place to post questions for me to see. And let's get into answers now in today's By Request.
By Request. Inglés a la carta.
All right, by request, we have a couple of questions here from a few different listeners. Laura says, hi, Kyle. Could you please explain to me how to say few or few people know how you are? Okay. How to say it? Well, few. Okay. Few means like few people, poca gente. We have to be careful because we say a few. A few can be like algunos. There are, in my hometown in Canada, Liverpool, Nova Scotia, it is not a very ethnically diverse town. There are a few black families. People say, hey, Kyle, are there any black families there? Yeah, there are a few black families. There are a few Chinese families. You could say, there are few Chinese people in my town. Hay pocos chinos en mi pueblo. There are few. Pero hay algunos chinos. There are a few. Hay pocos. There are few. Hay muy pocos. There are very few. F-E-W, few. So this is always with countable. But there's an important difference between very few, muy pocos, and a few. You could use a few to emphasize that the number is greater than anticipated. People say, oh, people say that there are no Eskimos. La gente me dice que no hay Esquimales en España. Pero la verdad es que hay unos, hay algunos. Eh? There are a few. You may not believe me, but I know that there are a few Eskimos in Madrid. There are a few Eskimos in Spain. They moved from Canada or Alaska, but there are a few there. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense. Few or a few. Few people know how you are. Poca gente sabe qué tal estás. Okay. Okay, Laura, that's a good question. Thank you for that. Miguel Angel says, hi, Kyle, could you tell me another way to say it's very important? Okay, you could say it's essential. It's very important. I mean, do you pay attention to price when you buy something? Of course, it's very important. It's essential. It's key. It's clave. when you're planning meals, looking at calories, looking at sugar, these things are very important. These things are essential. These things are key. They're fundamental. So these are a few ways you could say something similar to very important. And I agree. You should avoid that. Another thing about very important is how we don't use it in English. We don't use important in every case where you say importante. In Spanish, you say, oh, es un competidor importante. Competencia importante, como competidor importante. We wouldn't say an important competitor. No, we would say a big competitor. A major competitor. Es un problema importante. We wouldn't say it's an important problem. No, it's a big problem. It's a major problem. It's a serious problem. Okay, in this sense, we use different words. Maybe this is what Miguel Angel means, but that's a common mistake that people make a lot. It's an important problem. No, it's a serious problem. It's a big problem. Es un reto importante. It's a major challenge. Not an important challenge, a major challenge. Okay? All right. Okay, everybody, there we go. Let's go ahead with it. Speaking of challenges, let's go ahead with a major challenge that I love to do every day. I'm talking about today's interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge.
All right, everybody, the interrogative challenge. Challenge. Interrogative challenge. That's right. I'm going to give you the answer to the question. You ask me the question that I've already answered. Ah, muy bien. Okay. Okay, here we go. Peter turned the machine on. Who turned the machine on? Who turned the machine on? Oh, Peter did. Okay. I carried it for about 100 meters. How long did you carry it? Jimi Hendrix's father's name was Al. What was Jimi Hendrix's father's name? Well, that's a tricky one. Double Saxon genitive. What was Jimi Hendrix's father's name? He played over 600 shows in the late 60s. How many shows did he play in the late 60s? He toured with the Monkees in 1967. Who did he tour with in 1967? He played 7 shows with them. How many shows did he play with them? He left the tour after the 7th show. What did he do after the 7th show? In fact, I don't think he was after the show. He stormed off stage. He got angry at the crowd. It was a terrible match, really. Jimi Hendrix with the Monkees. Very different band. But it was the wrong crowd for him, so he gave an offensive gesture, let's say, to the audience and stormed off the stage. Yes. Anyway, his first album was released in 1967. When was his first album released? The first song was called Purple Haze. What was the first song called? What was the first song called? He played the guitar upside down because he was left-handed. Why did he play the guitar upside down, right? Boca abajo. Why did he play the guitar upside down? It's true, he did it because he was left-handed, and I guess he couldn't find a left-handed guitar, so he played a right-handed guitar, but turned upside down. Interesting. All right, we just have a few minutes left in our show. Let's go back in time and have a look at this day, today, in history. Today in history. Well, it was today in 1963 that Bob Dylan walked out of the Ed Sullivan Show. Or he walked out on the show. He left. By the end of the summer of 1963, Bob Dylan was known to millions who watched or witnessed his performances. And he had a big hit song with Peter, Paul, and Mary's a version of their song, Blowing in the Wind. But back in May, Bob Dylan, it was his song that they had covered and give him a lot of exposure. But back in May, Bob Dylan was just another aspiring musician with a passionate niche, kind of a niche following of people who were passionate about him. But he wasn't a household name, but he didn't have much national coverage. Much of a national profile, but his second album, The Freewheeling Bob Dylan, hadn't been released yet. But he had secured what would be a big break, an invitation to perform on the Ed Sullivan Show. That appearance, though, never happened. On this day, May 12th, 1963, a young and relatively unknown Bob Dylan walked off the set of the highest-rated variety show as censors rejected the song that he planned to perform. So he wanted to play a certain song, and they said, no, you can't play that song. It was called Talkin' John Birch Paranoid Blues was the name of the song. It was this talking blues song. He had a number of these songs, talking blues. You play a blues rhythm on the guitar and basically talk through it, telling stories. So this song that he wanted to perform, it was very politically charged. I won't get into it exactly, but it was very political in nature, and the station didn't agree with it. So they said, you're going to have to change the song. Basically, he said no, and in protest, he left the stage. So in a way, he didn't get that exposure on television, but it did help his reputation as an artist of uncompromising integrity. Now, Bob Dylan, in reality, was very polite and respectful and declining to give in to the network's wishes. He said, I explained the situation, and he felt strongly about his song, and he felt it was the right song to play. And there are these rumors that Bob Dylan had thrown a big angry tantrum. But a lot of people later say that that was not true. It was, in fact, that was all made up, and he was actually quite polite about the whole thing. But the publicity of turning down, right, rechazar, to turn down, the publicity that came with turning down the opportunity of performing on this show, very important, influential show, the Ed Sullivan Show. So just the fact that he turned it down made him famous for standing up, for standing his ground, if you will, and standing up for what he wanted to do. And he gained a lot of respect and fame, if you will, about that. It ended up helping him quite a bit. Anyway, also on this day, John Rockefeller died on this day in 1937. He was once the world's richest man. He established Standard Oil, which by the turn of the century controlled some 90% of U.S. oil. My gosh, he'd be, imagine the wealth he would, they would have today. Now, during his life, Rockefeller donated more than $500 million to different charities. He was often quoted as saying that he wanted to live to be 100, but he fell just short when he passed away at 97 years old on this day in 1937. I'm going to finish there, everybody. I have to. I'm out of time. But I'll be back tomorrow. Ya sabes. I'll be back tomorrow with more Drive Time. Thank you so much for listening, folks, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
Que tus hijos se aburren en el campamento de verano es porque no los has enviado con Vaughan. Porque si buscas un campamento en el que se diviertan, pero de verdad, donde además hablen en inglés todo el rato, tráelos a nuestros campamentos de verano Vaughan en España, Ávila, Cantabria, Valencia, Guadalajara.